Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We're going to talk about Libya today. There's some problems there, and I don't know how they ever got started, except we all know that Hillary was involved in regime change back in 2011. And but there was always this denial, not regime change. It was to get rid of a bad guy who's killing his own people. And sort of reminds us of the story of what's been going on up in Syria.
You know?
It's all these bad guys killing their own citizens.
And now, Iraq too.
Always that time. And especially there after their children. But You know, there was a story recently. Well, of course, this morning we saw on antiwar.com bringing the subject up and brought it to our view, brought it to our attention. And that was that it looks like we will be ramping up our involvement there. It's not like we ever really left. I mean, we always keep our CIA there and special forces. But it looks like we're going to have a change in policy. You know, the new president's coming up. It might be a new ambassador, more troops in there. And it looks like it's not only back to Libya, maybe it's back to Benghazi again. And things weren't ever finished up there very well, and it was ongoing. But I want to call attention to another article that was in Consortium, you know, Robert Perry's site. And he published an article by Joe Lauria.
Yeah.
And he went back and reviewed what he had been saying and trying to get people to understand what the real truth was about what was going on there. And it's a very good article. So if anybody's inclined to want to get more information in depth, it's a good article to look up to find out, you know, not that anybody on our of our viewers are going to be totally surprised, but it gives a lot of information. But I do want to read one quote, you know, from Hillary, because Hillary was very much involved. Most people acknowledge now that Hillary was the architect of all this, and she was involved in the weapons going south, the weapons going northeast, up into Syria, and all these problems that exist. But this is what Lauria writes. Hillary Clinton, who according to leaked emails was the architect of the attack on Libya, said 4 days earlier, when the Libyan people sought to realize their democratic aspirations, they were met by extreme violence from their own government. The absurdity of all that, and they use this against Assad, that if they're threatened, the regime change is coming. I remember what Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, he passed out rifles.
Yeah.
You know, he passed out rifles to defend himself. And so Saddam's reaction was that. But now they're saying Assad and Gaddafi, he started killing his own people. And then there was all kinds of warning. Perry came up and he says, time is running out for the Libyan people. The world needs to respond immediately, you know, and it was all concocted. And this article talks about the lies, about how many lies were told. He tried to get this out, and how few people would even pay any more attention. But there's a recent report, in last year there was a report out by the British Parliament and reveals a lot of this, and but has been totally ignored by our media.
And the point of Lauria's article is that, you know, just reporting on this finding by the British Parliament about the lies that were used to justify this intervention, no U.S. media would touch it. No U.S. media would touch stories that go against U.S. foreign policy. What does that tell you about the free press, you know? But you know, the point about, you know, Hillary and Kerry, you know, their push for war in Libya, they abused the R2P policy, responsibility to protect, that was adopted by the UN in the early to mid-2000s. And this gave a justification for a group of countries to go in and attack another country if it was proven that that country was mistreating its citizens. First of all, completely undermines the whole concept of the UN, which is to bolster national sovereignty. For all of its faults, essentially the UN Charter is about a group of sovereign nations. So R2P, completely philosophically flawed from the beginning, but once it was in place, people like Hillary thought that would be a much better way to justify an invasion than talking about regime change. oh, the poor people attacked by their own government. But in fact, as Loria writes, this wasn't the case. When Gaddafi retook villages from the rebels, civilians weren't harmed. They weren't attacked, just like what we're seeing in Libya. We talked about yesterday, civilians are actually going back to the places that the government takes over.
Syria.
Yeah,
they're going back, yeah. And I made the point that that's a good sign, when what the people are doing, but that's what's hidden from our people in this country. They don't get that into the media, and that's why this article is so important, because he pinpoints and documents, you know, the lies. But the problem that I have, and we have, and the country has, is that even though we have a nice viewership now, they're not totally surprised. Yeah. They're outraged by it, and I hope we motivate more people to look at this. But this is the whole thing. This is routine, whether it was Saddam Hussein in Libya, what goes on in Afghanistan, what's going on in Syria. How about the truth about Ukraine?
Yeah.
And then now we have, and we've been fighting with the truth here. I mean, the campaign, even the last presidential campaign, Benghazi, yeah. and they talk about it, but it's over and over again. And the other thing that, for me, will be disappointing, and sometimes I'm worn out looking for things that I can say, Trump's okay on this one. Let's give him a chance.
Today.
But here he is. You know, yesterday, we ought to at least talk to the Russians. But here it is, expansion of our involvement. That doesn't sound like, refresh my memory, what was American First all about? Yeah. Does it have to do with us sending more troops into Libya?
Yeah. And, you know, to be clear, this is reported. This is not Trump coming out and saying it. Apparently, this is what his plan is. It sounds like an extension of the Hillary plan, really. But the goal, according to the anti-war, which quoted CNN, was the reconciliation of the various factions seeking power in Libya.
Right.
I found that extremely ironic, because essentially what they're saying is, we want to have Libya have a unified government under a single command, which is the exact opposite of the whole intent of the 2011 invasion, which was to separate the East and the Benghazi rebels from the West and from the Gaddafi. So they wanted to break it up, but once they got it broken up, they realized, gosh, we got to try to put this thing back together again. So that's apparently the goal. They're calling it counterterrorism. But as you pointed out, apparently a permanent basing of at least 50 special operations troops on the ground. Don't worry, they're just sharing intelligence. They won't be doing any fighting, et cetera, et cetera. But clearly, if this is the case, if this is what he puts forth, it is the U.S. now getting militarily involved in building yet another nation, not America First.
And the record of success is so poor, but it never slows them up. That, you know, it never happens. A matter of fact, if there's the slightest attempt or implication that we may be moving in a reasonable direction, like Putin and Trump over the weekend, the neocons go nuts, and the media goes nuts. So, but it's so uniform, and this is part of this article shows that it was the media inclusion with the government, and to our great surprise. But it's so bad, it's so incestuous, and it's so disgusting, especially if the people who do watch the television, subtly there may be a little bit of difference in emphasis, and I like this politician versus that politician. Yeah. But when it comes to this, you know, when you get somebody to clean up the mess, and the mess continues, and then sometimes the mess gets worse, and the acceptance of the same interventionist foreign policy, that's where the problem is. But this, to me, sounds like more intervention. And I am not shocked and surprised. I'm disgusted, and it's just disappointing that it's happened. But we have no shift in policy. We still are interventionists, internationalists. We may say some things, from the administration, hear things from the administration that, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be in NATO. But if they pay their bills and we can run the show, that'll be all right. And then they're our best friends. That is so bad. it's almost like if you had an honest dictator, you would be, we'd understand what's going on. But now, who can figure out what really is happening?
I think the real question is, if this report is true, why are we going back in, and why now of all times? Because without getting into too much detail, the facts on the ground in Libya are shifting. There are competing factions, I would say three major competing factions. The Government of National Accord was installed by the UN. That's the internationally recognized government. That's backed by Qatar and a few other groups, Turkey and a few other groups. That's the UN government. That's in the West. But the Libyan National Army under Khalifa Haftar, who was initially close to the U.S. and now it's claimed is closer to Russia, he's actually just taken most of Benghazi. So I wonder how that will work out with U.S. troops coming in. But he's backed by the House of Representatives, it's called, and they're in Tobruk. And that is an elected body, elected by the Libyan people, although not a perfect election by any stretch of the imagination. Those two are at loggerheads, I think, and the question is maybe the reconciliation is between the two of them. But the third wild card factor, and I think this and one other thing explains why the U.S. is suddenly interested, is that Saif Gaddafi, the second to oldest son of Muammar Gaddafi, who the U.S. helped overthrow, was released from detention last month after several years of being held. He's a new factor. He's a potentially unifying factor. He's said to be close to Haftar, or at least have friendly relations. The ICC wants him to try him for war crimes. But the question is the U.S. afraid of someone like Gaddafi coming in and being able to, because he's known for his negotiating skills, to smooth things over between the various tribes? I think it would be so much for the U.S. to take having Libya ruled again by Gaddafi after everything we've gone through. I just suspect that has something to do with this.
Yeah, and it's not unheard of that when there's disruption that we help to create is resolving itself and there may be a victory, we know about that in Syria, that we have to rush in to stir up more trouble again and save us from ourselves, you know, because the people who are winning or getting control aren't, you know, our friends and the ones that we pick. Not that one group is a whole lot better than the other, but it's this whole idea that we move in when we may be losing the fight, and we've seen that so often happen.
And the other thing is oil is pumping out of Libya again, and I think there probably are some special interests in the U.S. that wouldn't mind getting their fingers on some of that.
You know what, they better be careful about it and find out whether this Gaddafi wants to use dollars or something else, because that was the story back in 2011. We've heard that in the various stories. Independence means you might use another currency other than the dollar. Saddam Hussein, they've accused Assad of this, and it still floats around. So one of these days it's probably going to happen. It isn't so much that this is pure fiction and pure conspiracy. I'm sure there's people thinking about it, but it is a big deal, and it doesn't happen easily for people to leave a reserve currency. I mean, there has to, because it's such a huge event that even the people who would like to see us tumble, they have a lot to lose too. The Chinese would like to see the dollar removed, and they may be diligently working on that. But if they do it too soon and too disruptively, you know, it's going to be terrible, you know, for their economy and their currency. But that, I think the dollar is a big deal. Whether it is at this current stage, who knows? It could be. Maybe if Gaddafi wins or gets more control, that subject might come up again.
I think they were talking about introducing a gold-backed dinar or something right before the 2011. And I keep writing these things off as conspiracy, but each time and time again, it seems to happen that when they shift. You mentioned something about Qatar was thinking about going off the dollar reserve.
Yeah, that came up when I saw that article, which is, again, an article. And I got to thinking, well, all of a sudden, there's a dramatic turn. I mean, we've looked at the Persian Gulf for a long time and didn't know there was such hostility. and now, all of a sudden, you read a story like that, and they sell a lot of oil, and they're on the international markets. And, of course, they have a close ally with Turkey right now. And they don't do badly with Iran. They're the one, Turkey and Iran is really saved that country from the abuse of Saudi Arabia and the other Gulf states.
Yeah. Well, I would just close, if I can, by saying that, you know, this is a dangerous new escalation if the U.S. does it. But if I can update another story before you close on Libya, I would just tell our viewers that we both caught our attention this morning that apparently in the U.S. House of Representatives, The stall on the new Russia sanctions bill, which, as Dr. Paul mentioned yesterday, as you mentioned yesterday, passed in the Senate, 97-2 or something, it stalled in the House, and they said, well, it's procedural problems. But Corker said yesterday, no, this is not procedural. The House is doing something. They're not passing these new sanctions against Russia, and we're frustrated in the Senate and what have you. So I'm just wondering, Dr. Paul, what do you think? Maybe some people are watching the show and calling the representatives.
Yeah, well, when this broke a little while ago, you know, it went to the House, and this was a procedural thing, and it was delayed. And I said, no, it's there. They could bring that up within a minute, and they could have the vote. They always win these votes. There was somebody behind the scenes that have decided that they didn't need this. So there's obviously a struggle within the administration on whether or not this sanction idea is good, and there's a lot of financial interests involved, and maybe the deep state is not as unified as we think they might be, but they're figuring it out. But it's hard to say exactly what will happen, but it isn't a parliamentary problem. It is a strategic, philosophic problem. It's probably two different groups vying for control and determination on just what the extent of these sanctions would be. I have a simple answer for them. Just give up the principle of sanctions. Admit that sanctions is an act of war. Stay out of that trouble. Understand that sanctions actually undermines any effort to have peace and prosperity, and that it is considered an act of war when you blockade a nation and prevent them from having certain services. So I think sanctions are wrong, and they do not achieve what is intended. Other than that, what we should do is continue to do what is best for the United States, set an example for the rest of the world, and show them why free trade and individual liberty is the best road to peace and prosperity. And that, of course, is the goal of this program and the Institute for Peace and Prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.